The last few weeks, ever since Mother's Day, we've been studying together, turning our hearts towards home. That's been the theme. We've been basing the lessons on a series of articles written by Dr. Gary Oliver, a Christian counselor, Seven Keys to Building Strong Families. And we've looked at things such as the power of modeling in our families, such things as practice nourishing love, creating an encouraging environment, a nurturing quality communication, but also giving the gift of time. Today on Father's Day, and happy Father's Day to you, to my dad, to my dad-in-law, to all the dads, grandfathers in the audience. And I realize that today is a difficult day for many. Because you miss your father, or because of some other reasons, this may be a more difficult day for you. And we acknowledge that, and we want to keep you in mind. And that's why today, I would like for us to turn our thoughts toward our Heavenly Father. I read an article this past week by Jack Wilkie. I've never met Jack Wilkie. He's a brother in Christ. He writes for Focus Press. And an article that he wrote caught my eye. And the title of it is, What Makes a Great Father? What Makes a Great Father? And in the course of the article, I realized, though I had read some of Jack Wilkie's articles in the past, I didn't know how old he was. I just assumed he was an older, experienced man. But in the very beginning of the article, he says, I'm a newly minted dad, which meant he just recently become a father. So I thought, okay, that's interesting. He's very wise for being just a young father. But in the course of his article, he did just what I wanted to do today. He says in this article, there will never be a better father than the father we have in heaven. In the course of his article, he highlights some qualities about our heavenly father that all of us earthly fathers need to seek to emulate. So I want to share those five and expound upon those five with you this morning. Our Heavenly Father, and a Father like our Heavenly Father, first of all, He guides. He guides. Our Heavenly Father has given us guidance. He's given us guidance through His Word. He's also provided the perfect example in His Son, Jesus Christ. His Word, all Scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. He's given us His Word, guidance, for everything that we need to know about life and about eternal life. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. So our Heavenly Father, for His children, has provided guidance in how to navigate through this life and prepare for eternal life. That's a great father, isn't it? Who thinks about his children enough to give them guidance. And what an example for all of us fathers, grandfathers, to emulate, to guide our families through this life into the next. Number two, our Father, and a Father like the Heavenly Father, provides. Provides. Think about God's provision as our Heavenly Father. He's provided for everything that we need physically and spiritually. But He also provides for us in response to our prayers. And sometimes in our prayers, God answers yes. Sometimes He says no. Sometimes He says wait. Sometimes He says here's something else. But with every answer that God our Father gives, we can know that He always wants and does what is best for us. Another example, wonderful example for us as earthly fathers, grandfathers to emulate. Yes, we want to be in tune with our children's needs and we want to provide for them because the Scripture says if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his own household, he's worse than an unbeliever. And has denied the faith, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. But as we think about the needs of our children and what our children want, we also, like our Heavenly Father, have to think, would it be best to provide this? Or do we say no? Or do we say wait? Or do we say, save up some money and get it for you, for yourself? We also must be in tune with other good lessons that good fathers seek to teach us. And our Heavenly Father teaches us things like perseverance, things like taking pride in the good sense, things like humility and responsibility, and all those things, that those lessons, some of which can be tough, that we must learn and our children must learn. A third thing is that our Father, and our Father, like the Heavenly Father, disciplines. Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord disciplines him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11 echoes that. Hebrew writer expounds upon that. The Lord disciplines those that he loves. And in that idea of discipline is everything that is involved in training. Yes, there's some correction, but there's also some reinforcement, positive reinforcement. Everything that's entailed in training up a child in the way he should go. And training that child to follow God's will faithfully. And yes, that involves discipline. And regardless of what our culture says, a good father disciplines his children, just like our Heavenly Father disciplines us. Number four, our Father also comforts us. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Psalm 103 verse 13, beautiful verse. From the New American Standard Version, it says, just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. God has compassion. Yes, he disciplines us. He corrects us. He reproves us. But he comforts us. He walks along beside us. He is with us no matter what we're going through. God does not guarantee us easy lives. He does guarantee us that he will walk with us through anything. And what an example for us. We can't, as much as we may want to, we can't guarantee our children that they'll have perfect, pain-free lives. But we can assure them that we're going to be with them. That we're going to see them through. That we're going to walk with them no matter how tough life may get. Fifthly, and obviously, our Father loves us. He loves us. See what great love the Father has lavished upon us. NIV says, translates 1 John 3 verse 1. I love that word lavish. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And God, in his very essence, is love. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. And though we'll love, never love as perfectly as our Heavenly Father loves us, we should seek to love to the very best of our ability our children, our family members, our church family. Because our Father loves us. Listen to Jack Wilkie's statement. In this Peter Pan culture of extended adolescence and boys who refuse to be men, Christian men must lead the way in loving our families. God has placed the task on our shoulders to lead our homes and guide the hearts of our children toward him. You see, key number six, as we're looking at these different keys of building a strong family, is building our families upon the rock. And I think today is a good day to think about that as it's Father's Day. Because if you listen to Ephesians 6 and verse 4, this instruction is given to fathers specifically. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. In its context, there's a lot of instruction for family, Ephesians 5, a lot of instruction about husbands and wives and their relationships. Into chapter 6, it starts with children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise. But then the pen of the Apostle Paul, guided by the Spirit, gives attention to fathers. And again, he says, fathers, what's your responsibility? You don't provoke your children to wrath, but you, fathers, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. If you're a father, that's spoken to you. Here's what I've realized this week. The greatest thing that I can do as a father is to help guide my children to the Heavenly Father. And just so you know, this applies to each and every one of us. The greatest thing I can do as a Christian is to help guide others to the Heavenly Father. It's the greatest thing that you and I can do. How is that accomplished? It's accomplished by what we say. What are our families? What do people around us hear from our mouths? What instruction are they gleaning when we speak? Is it instruction that points them to the Heavenly Father or away from Him? You and I can help guide others, our families and others, to the Heavenly Father by what we say. Number two, by what we do. And that's going to speak much more loudly than the words that we use. Because children, especially children, know when what you're saying is not matching what you're doing. They can see through it immediately. We can help guide others by how we live. Number three, by what we worship. By what we worship. And that may seem like, well, David, we worship God, right? That's who we're supposed to worship, yes. When I think of the word worship, I think of worth-ship. Worth-ship. We worship what we ascribe worth to. So what is worthy of our worth-ship? To what are we ascribing worth in our lives? And yes, the correct answer is we need to ascribe the greatest amount of worth to God, because only He is worthy of our worship. But folks, we must also acknowledge there are other things to which we ascribe worth. And sometimes they challenge that worth-ship that we want to give to God and to Him alone. To what do we ascribe worth in our lives? Do we depend on our own abilities and our resources? Is that what our family members, is that what our children are seeing in us? Well, Dad thinks he can do it all. Or is our hope placed in things of this world like money? What really rattles our cages? Is it financial issues? Do our family members, do others see us really uptight about financial issues? And yes, it takes money to pay bills, and I get that. I'm living that. But where is our dependence? To what are we ascribing worth? By what we worship, we can influence others to follow our Heavenly Father. And where I place my hope, that's how I can help direct others to the Heavenly Father. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Don't put your trust in the wrong things. Don't put your trust in things that are uncertain, but rather put your trust in the living God. That's where our hope is. And if that's where our hope is, and we're living that before our families, we're going to help direct them to our Heavenly Father. So I want to repeat. The greatest thing that I can do as a father is to help guide my children to the Heavenly Father. The greatest thing I can do as a Christian is to help direct others to the Heavenly Father. I want to end this lesson with a quote. And I debated about whether or not to do this because the quote is from a movie. And I realize movies are full of actors. They're paid to play a part that they're not. I recognize that. But I also recognize that movies can be a vehicle, a powerful vehicle, in communicating thoughts and ideas. And I love it when a movie communicates biblical truth. And I believe this speech delivers biblical truth. It's a speech given in the movie Courageous. Adam Mitchell gives a speech toward the end of the movie, and it's directed to fathers. So I want to quote, I've adapted it slightly, quote his speech to you. And I want to speak to us fathers as I do so. While so many mothers have sacrificed to help their children survive, they were never intended to carry the weight alone. We thank God for them. I now believe that God desires for every father to courageously step up and do whatever it takes to be involved in the lives of his children. But more than just being there providing for them, he's to walk with them through their lives and be a visual representation of the character of God, their Father in heaven. A father should love his children and seek to win their hearts. He should protect them, discipline them, and teach them about God. He should model how to walk with integrity and treat others with respect. And should call out his children to become responsible men and women who live their lives for what matters in eternity. Some men will hear this and mock it or ignore it. But I tell you that as a father, you are accountable to God for the position of influence he has given you. You can't fall asleep at the wheel only to wake up one day and realize that your job or your hobbies have no eternal value, but the souls of your children do. Some men will hear this and agree with it, but have no resolve to live it out. Instead, they will live for themselves and waste the opportunity to leave a godly legacy for the next generation. But there are some men who, regardless of the mistakes we've made in the past, regardless of what our fathers did or did not do for us, will give the strength of our arms and the rest of our days to loving God with all that we are, and to teach our children to do the same. And whenever possible, to love and mentor others who have no father in their lives, but who desperately need help and direction. We are inviting any man whose heart is willing and courageous to join us in this resolution. In my home, the decision has already been made. You don't have to ask who will guide my family, because by God's grace, I will. You don't have to ask who will teach my children to follow Christ, because I will. Who will accept the responsibility of providing and protecting my family? I will. Who will ask God to break the chain of Satan's destructive influences in my life? I will. Who will pray for and bless my children to boldly pursue God and His will for His lives? I am their father. I will. I accept this responsibility. It's my privilege to embrace it. I want the favor of God and His blessing on my home. Any good man does. So where are you, men of courage? Where are you, fathers who fear the Lord? It's time to rise up and answer the call that God has given to you and say, I will. I will. I will. Will you? Will you, fathers, accept the role that God has prescribed for us? Will you, Christians, accept the role that God has provided for us? And that role at its basis is to use every ounce of our being to love God supremely in our lives and to influence others to do the same. Will you follow Jesus and guide others to do the same? It begins by surrendering your life to Jesus. It believes by placing your faith and trust in Him and turning from your sin and confessing His sweet name even before this assembly this morning and being baptized into Christ so that your sins can be washed away. That's a cleansing that takes place in our lives, but it's also a commitment to follow Jesus. Are you willing to make that commitment? Are you willing to take those first steps of faith? But then will you continue to follow Jesus faithfully? Will you continue to set that example that you may or may not have had in your own life, but that others who may be watching you, following you, won't be led astray by your steps? And sometimes when we do stray away, actually it's exactly when we stray away, we set the right example when we turn back, when we ask God to forgive us, when we ask God to strengthen us to be the father, the mother, the Christian that He's called us to be. Are there some changes we need to make? Let's take this call seriously. If you're subject to the invitation of Jesus, please come right now as we stand and sing.